WEOL. This is Les Sekeli filling in for Bruce Van Dyke for the remainder of today and tomorrow, always having fun on the radio. A gentleman by the name of Glenn Mertz is a very, very old friend of mine. We used to produce comedy shows together. And recently I heard that over the years he has changed vocations from TV producer into chaplain at a correctional facility. And I thought, well, this is very interesting. I have never met or even spoken to a chaplain at such a facility. And he is the chaplain at Lorain Correctional Institute. And I thought it would be interesting to have Glenn on to get some of his insights. So, Glenn, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Yeah, thanks, Les. I appreciate it.
So, first of all, if you can kind of set the stage, what would be the difference between Lorain Correctional Facility and a facility such as Grafton and even Lucasville?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the residents that we have here. Some of it has to do with how long they're going to be staying in the facility. Originally, we were a reception facility, which means that as people would come in here, we would process them, and then they would go out to their parent institution, such as Lucasville. So we were more of a we stop here first before we go on to the more permanent. Right now, we're a parole violator prison. So if they violated their parole, then they come back here for a period of time. If they're going to be here longer than a certain period of time, then they'll go someplace else.
Do you get hardcore criminals where you are?
What do you mean by hardcore?
Well, I'm like, major offenses such as murder or things along those lines.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get an idea of, who it is that you speak to on a day-to-day basis.
Everything from that all the way down to someone that's just going to be, drugs or something along those lines. So, it runs the gamut. It goes from, small to big, I guess you could say, less.
Okay. So how does one become a chaplain at a correctional institute from a radio talk show host? Interesting path.
Yeah, it was. I worked in radio for well over 30 years, and my last stop was doing a Christian talk show over in Cleveland. And I had been there for quite a while, and I met a lot of people. And one of the people that I had met was someone that has actually the largest institutional ministry in the state, and he was actually a resident where I am at today. And he got out, he became a pastor, and he encouraged me to actually to do this. And I had gone back to school, got a number of degrees, and I was going to get into ministry, and this just seemed to be the path that I found. And I got to tell you, I love it. I love doing what I do, and bringing hope to these guys is something that that's very important to me, and I'm hoping it's very important to them also. It is quite a strange path, isn't it, Les? Going from radio into an institution like this.
Talking to Glenn Mertz, he is the chaplain at Lorain Correctional Facility. You sort of touched upon my next question, but if you could elaborate a little bit, your role as the chaplain, how would you define it?
Well, it all depends. I do a lot of different things, everything from administrative to I do services. I have a list of things that I have to get done all the time, and it really runs the gambit. I mean, no day looks the same. Every day is a little bit different. And today's, like today I'll be doing some things that I haven't done in a long time, and I got to prepare for certain things. So, like this morning, I was putting the finishing touches on a sermon that I want to give here very soon. So, it's day to day. I see guys; they come into my office daily. We talk about a lot of different things. I try to help them through some stuff, and sometimes they just want to come in and talk. It seems to be a bit of a sanctuary for a lot of the guys for some reason. So they come down here and talk an awful lot. So no day looks the same, and I just do a lot of different things.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you next. If there is such a thing as some of the more common things that residents do talk to you about, what are some of the things?
If they're having difficulty, like we just got through Christmas and we're going through New Year's, so some of them are a little, a little down because, you know, they're not with their families. Some of them have lost loved ones during this time of year. So, you know, we talk about that. And, you know, but we also talk about things that you and I would talk about. I'm kind of surprised. These guys like talking about food an awful lot. So we talk about food. And because it's amazing, they have different recipes that they use and everything else. I was kind of shocked that because they go to commissary and buy their own food, and they come up with some recipes that are quite unique. So we talk about that a little bit, and just talk sometimes about their personal lives, the highs and lows of their lives. You know, and they ask about me, and. That's pretty much what we talk about. I mean, just the common things that we would talk about less, I think.
And the reason they want to talk to you about this, how would you describe it?
The reason why they want to talk to me about, like...
About what, anything. About food, it. Family, whatever.
I think because I listen. You don't get that a lot today in society. People just don't seem to listen anymore. Everybody wants to talk, or they just want to ignore. And they really don't care about the other person. And when you actually have an interest in somebody, when you actually sit down and listen to them and talk with them, I think that resonates with them an awful lot. And they're a little bit more open for you, and they're a little bit more trusting, I would say, because they see the same guys every day, and they talk to them about the same things every day. And I have a different perspective maybe than some of the guys here. And plus, I mean, the biggest thing, and you know this working in radio less and doing interviews and everything else, listening's so big. And I think that's what a lot of them really need.
Is there anything that you might have heard over the years? And, of course, we're not, you know, using any names or anything. But is there anything that a resident has told you that made you go, oh, my goodness, just has really shocked you or just left an impression on you?
Not anymore. Maybe when I first got here, I would hear some things that, you know, I hear things that are different. I think what I'm pleased about, it doesn't surprise me, but it what I like it is when the light clicks on, when they get something, when we're talking about something, especially when we're talking in like Bible study or something like that, and they discover something that they hadn't thought about before, that's always great. And then the other thing is when we do grief, when we had grief with the guys, that was really, I got to tell you, so that was pretty powerful, hearing some of their stories and just for them to be able to talk about it and get it off their chest. Those kind of things are incredible moments, Les.
Is there a story that you can share with us?
I'm trying to think if there's anything I can really, really share. I would say that, just kind of in general, I would say that when they are hurting, that when we sit down, we have a talk, and a lot of times I don't even have to say anything. They do all the talking and everything else. When they do that, and then they go, Chaplain, thank you so much. You helped me an awful lot. And I think to myself, I didn't do anything, but apparently I did. Or just them talking it out really, really helped them an awful lot. And I think those are some of those are the best stories. Let's put it like that. When you could actually see that you've helped somebody, those are the best stories, Les.
We are talking to Chaplain Glenn Mertz from the Lorain Correctional Facility. Have you ever spoken to anybody on death row?
No, I have not. I've spoken to some people that are here for life, but I've not spoken to anybody on death row.
Somebody who is there for life, what sort of things do they share? Where are they coming from now that they've either accepted or are having difficulty accepting that they are there for life?
Yeah, same things I talk about with everybody. You know, some of them that are religious are looking forward to the next chapter, eternity. Some of them, some of them just talk about helping the guys that are here. I know one gentleman that really enjoys watching someone go home. He's told me that several times, and he encourages them and helps them. And so, I mean, you know, everybody has a purpose, Les. And once you find that purpose, I think that you can deal with whatever you're confronted with. And I think a couple of the guys here that will be here for a very long time, probably the rest of their lives, probably have come to that conclusion that, you know, they found their purpose, and then they can cope with what their situation is.
Well, you have such a unique perspective on things that most people do not have a perspective on. One of the biggest reasons why, you know, I wanted to talk to you on the air here. Listening to the residents, the things they talk to you about, have you come to any conclusions as to why they may end up where they are, whereas your average person wouldn't? It's easy to point a finger saying, okay, he's there, he's in prison, blah, blah, blah. But why do you think they ended up where they are?
Bad choices, maybe. I mean, if you think about it, Les, we're all about 60 seconds away from ending up in a facility because, you know, you make a wrong turn on a road or something like that, and that could have tragic results. So, you know, a lot of them are here because they just made some bad life choices. You know, like I tell them all the time, you know, there's consequences to the choices that we make. And sometimes this is one of those consequences.
And they listen to you. They accept what you have to say, maybe more so than anybody else?
I don't know. I know a lot of our COs here are very, very good at being with the guys. But I know that they when they come down here and they talk with me, I can tell that they trust me to tell me some of the big things in their lives. And, you know, I take that very, very, very seriously. And I take that as a very important part of my job.
Somebody in your situation cannot do what you do day to day without having some general insights on life. So my final question is, again, after having the experiences you have, after talking to the folks that you do, what insights in life in general do you have that you would like to share? What have you learned about life from talking to folks that most people don't get a chance to talk to?
Well, first of all, don't take it for granted. Life is short. We don't have long here. And make the best of what you can while you're here. But being a Christian, I would say, from my perspective as a Christian, I would say to look to Christ and to follow Him in your life, and that's what I'm trying to do each and every day. I think this virus that we just have, we see the people that we've lost through this, and just in our own lives. Don't take life for granted, because it is very short.
Well. For whatever it's worth, Glenn, I can say in all honesty that I guarantee you that you have touched some folks. People are listening to you because I'm listening to you. I hear the passion and I hear the conviction in your voice. So coming from me, who's you know, never been in any kind of a correctional facility along these lines, I think that there's people who are listening to you, and please, please keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thanks, Les. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right. You take care.
You too.
Chaplain Glenn Mertz from the Lorain Correctional Facility.